Fox Sports Radio has the best sports talk lineup in the nation. Catch all of our shows at foxsportsradio.com. And within the iHeartRadio app, search FSR to listen live.
Ben Simmons. And remember when he showed up last week, I brought it up. I said, look, everybody was, oh, he, you know, his tail between his legs. Here he comes. I was like, well, let's see. Let's see what he's there for. Is he there, number one, the ball? All right. Is he there to play? Or two, is he there just to collect the paycheck and maybe fake an injury? Or three, is he there to act out a la James Harden, Jimmy Butler, Anthony Davis? Be a nuisance, a pest until you get traded, right? I think we have the answer, Rob. It was three. And today at practice, Doc Rivers asked him to get into a defensive drill, I believe it was. And Ben said no. And Doc said, Ben, get in. And Ben said no. And Doc said, just leave. And Ben walked out, and that was that. Here's Joel Embiid on it after the practice.
At this point, I don't care about that man, honestly. He does whatever he wants. You know, that's not my job. You know, that's those guys' jobs. You know, I'm only focused on trying to make the team better. Our job is not to babysit somebody. You know, we here, we get paid to put just on the court, go out, play hard, win some games. That's all we get paid for.
Bravo. For real, Chris, enough already. Like, I'm Joel Embiid, he's right. And it ain't fair to the other guys on the team, Chris. You can't do that. It's insubordination. No. If you're out there, you're at practice, you got a uniform on, get out there and practice. Otherwise, don't show up. Don't show up to get a paycheck. Tell them you're not playing. Right. And you won't play until they trade you and they don't have to pay you. Do that. That's being a man. Is standing on your ground and say, I don't want your money. I don't want to be here. I'm not going to play. I'm not going to practice. Find me, do whatever you want, and I'll sit and I'll wait until you decide to trade me. But to put on a uniform and go out on the court and tell your coach, no, you're not going to participate, that ain't a man, Chris. That's not what you're there for. You're wasting everybody's time. Everybody sees through it. They suspended him for one game, and a bigger one should come. And if I'm the Sixers, I would make him rot. I wouldn't trade him. I'd make him rot. I dare you to sit out and not be the professional. When we signed you to that four-year extension for all that money, it was between two professionals, an organization and a player. And at that time, you could have said you didn't want it or you didn't want to be here. And people have been criticizing sports for years, forever, Chris.
Right.
So what? You played poorly. Accepted in the postseason. Doc Rivers protected your butt time and time and time again. Chris, how many times did we talk about it, Doc Rivers protecting him?
Doc actually was I thought he was getting to the point where he's embarrassing himself.
It was ridiculous. And finally, they asked him after he played so poorly, can you win with him? He said, I don't know. I'm not sure. And now his panties are in a bunch and he don't want to do anything. Man, come on with this. This is ridiculous.
Yeah, Rob, I can't really disagree with anything you said. And I would add to it that Ben Simmons may have, well, it'll be interesting to see how this goes, but Ben Simmons may have made a grand mistake in refusing to go into the drill. Because now Philadelphia may be able to say, look, he didn't want to play. He broke the contract. He refused to work. And so now he would have probably been better off, not that I would have respected this, but you might have been better off going in there to the drill and just half, you know, stepping and not giving it your all, being lethargic and all that. But now that you've refused to practice, they may have a leg to stand on and try not to pay you. But, Rob, I got to be honest with you. I think you're right. And, you know, from day one I said, look, what I don't like about the Ben Simmons situation is that he's refusing to look in the mirror.
Right. He won't accept it, Chris. Right.
Right. I mean, you can be mad about what Doc said, and I do think you're right. If you look at it honestly, Doc had your back all year. And we've criticized Doc, right? We're not Doc apologists. We've said
he didn't do well
with the Clippers. We questioned this hiring, all of that. But the fact is, Doc did have your back. I mean, Doc, remember when he said, anybody who's saying we should take Ben Simmons out because it's hacker Ben, they don't know what they don't know the game of basketball?
Yep.
That was embarrassing for Doc. And then a few games later, he's taking Ben out. And so he had stood behind him. Then you, Joel Embiid, okay, you didn't like what he said. But the fact of the matter is this, Rob. At the end of the day, I've wanted Ben Simmons to look in the mirror and say, you know what? I didn't get it done. I've got to get better. I've got to get a jump shot. I've got to improve my foul shooting. I've got to work on my mental toughness, mental strength, whatever it is that's holding me back. Michael Jordan did it right. What did he do when Detroit kept beating him? I got to get in the weight room. I got to be stronger. What did Magic do when he became Tragic Johnson in the 1984 finals? He went to the lab and got better. What did LeBron do in 2011 after he fell apart against Dallas? He got better. They can do it, but Ben Simmons can't?
So many players, Chris, have gotten better when they've had meltdowns or not played well in a postseason or a playoffs or in some big spot to get better. And
right.
And the whole notion that he's above it and you can't say anything about him and he's going to think he thinks he's going to get dressed, come out on the court and say no?
Yeah, that,
really?
I mean, again, his MO is clearly, I'm going to be a nuisance and I'm going to force them to trade him. But here's the problem, Rob. He's hurting his trade value. Now, when James Harden did it with, what, 10 years of excellence behind him in Houston, everybody knew, okay, he's just, you know, he's not playing hard. All right, we saw him the first five games of the year, averaged 33 and 10 or whatever it was. We know he's not playing hard. They knew when you trade for him, he's going to be James Harden.
You remember Harden showed up looking like the Pillsbury Doughboy.
Right.
Remember?
I don't know how he lost all that weight on the flight to Brooklyn.
Was that a fat suit he had on, Chris?
I know. You're right. It was crazy. But, Rob, I've talked to some people around the league, and it's just common sense. There are people around. There are those that want him. So, it's, you know, it's 32 teams.
There's always going to be somebody who thinks,
right.
What do they say? One man's trash is another man's treasure.
Exactly. I mean, I'm not saying nobody wants him. But, Rob, there are people that are like, he clearly had a mental block in the playoffs. And you could argue throughout his career because he's not, you know, been afraid to take jump shots. But certainly in the playoffs, Rob, have we seen any evidence that mental block is leaving?
No.
It's gone? If anything, this could be making you think it's going to be there and maybe
Chris,
even stronger.
How about if he came out, was a good soldier, played a great 15, 20 games, said, I really don't want to help them win, do whatever.
Right.
I don't really want to be here, but look, I tried to put on a show so that you guys could get your maximum value out of me, let people know that I can play, I've changed my game, but I don't want to be here. That's a mature way of handling it, Chris. And this
way,
the Sixers are more apt because we got a tradable commodity. Okay,
right.
Once the guy tells me, but you can't sabotage your trade value so I can't get anything, I can't give you away.
Absolutely. You're right. And I think that's, you say that behind closed doors, Rob, as we wrap up about, look, I still want out, but I'm going to put on a good face and I'm going to play my butt off. I think publicly, Rob, here's what I think he should do. I think he should hold a press conference and say, look, I was upset at myself, the way I played in the playoffs. I was upset with what Doc said about me. I was upset with Joel said about me. I knew I had let those guys down and my teammates and myself. And, you know, I didn't respond well. You know, I understand now that I'm under contract. I got to go out and play and I'm back, and I'm going to do my best. And if when he's asked, Rob, by the media, so, Ben, does this mean you don't want to be traded? I think you say this. I say, look, I don't know what the future holds. I just know I've got to play better. I haven't played up to my ability, and I'm going to do that now. Whatever happens in the future happens. But right now, I'm a 76er, yeah, and I'm giving my all to this team. That's it.
Be sure to catch live editions of The Odd Couple with Chris Broussard and Rob Parker. Weekdays at 7 p.m. Eastern, 4 p.m. Pacific on Fox Sports Radio and the iHeartRadio app.
Hey, I'm Doug Gottlieb. The podcast is called All Ball. We usually talk all basketball all the time, but it's more about the stories about what made these people love their sport and all the interesting interactions along the way. We talk to coaches. We talk to players. We tell you stories. You download it. You listen to it. I think you'll like it. Listen to All Ball with Doug Gottlieb on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
The story of the game outside of that last sequence was Derrick Henry, Rob. And you and I grew up in a time when this might be shocking, even for people Rob G's age, Rob, but certainly for the younger, you know, the 15 to 25 year olds and all right. that. We grew up in a time when the glamour position in the NFL was running back.
Not that quarterbacks weren't big, but right. there were star running backs who were as big, if not bigger. Barry Sanders, Chris, you could talk about Barry Sanders. Emmitt Smith and all the – even back to your Steelers well, you back go in back, the – Franco Harris.
Franco – Jim Brown.
Jim Brown
right?
was a big-time star.
O.J. Simpson.
Yes.
You know, Earl Campbell at that time. So, you're right. I mean, obviously, you had huge quarterbacks. Roger Staubach,
yeah,
Terry Bradshaw.
Were big,
yeah, right. we're not saying they weren't. But it was probably even, would you say?
More so.
As far as what was the face of the game, yes. it was the running back and the quarterback.
And it depended on what team, Chris, you were talking about, which guy would get top billing.
Right.
Barry Sanders was top billing for the Lions. No matter who was the quarterback, who was the right. biggest guy there, was Barry Sanders.
And we right. often saw running backs drafted. The best running back was the first pick in the draft. Now, I will say this. A great running back, and I think teams have gotten somewhat smart. A great running back doesn't mean you're going to have a great team. And they figured that out now. O.J. Simpson, Rob, played in one playoff game.
Right.
And he was
great
as
in Buffalo.
Good as it gets.
Great.
Right. Barry Sanders, what did he play in? Three?
Yep.
Three playoff games.
They were in the NFC Championship game. Chris, they got one playoff win since 1957. They beat the Dallas Cowboys with Emin and Michael Irvin and Troy Aikman in 1991. That was it, Chris. They you know what I mean? They beat them.
Eric Dickerson, arguably the best ever to do it, to carry the ball. And he didn't win a ring, didn't win a Super Bowl. He did play in seven playoff games, but never won a Super Bowl. So I get that, but still, it was a day where the running backs ruled, or at least reigned, right next to the quarterbacks. And Derrick Henry's a throwback, Rob. They used to get it 25 to 30 times. The real dope running backs, they get it 25 to 30 times a game, and they'd run for over 100 yards.
Yep.
And now in Derrick Henry, you have really the last one standing. Even Zeke is not like him. Nick Chubb is great, but Nick Chubb still shares the backfield, right, with Kareem Hunt.
No, this is Derrick Henry's a one-man show,
yep.
and he is the focal point of that whole team, and he is a real, you just said it, a throwback to what we were accustomed to, and they've gotten away from it because this is just a throw-happy league now.
Yep.
And everything is throwing the ball, just everything. And that's why all these quarterbacks, Chris, who aren't that great are shattering
yep.
the numbers of quarterbacks who were really good. Troy Aikman, right, who are passed up by a few also ran journeymans.
Ryan Fitzpatrick.
Right.
His numbers, at least touchdowns, are better than Troy Aikman. So, yeah, but here's the thing. So here's the question, Rob. Because the last running back to win the MVP award was Adrian Peterson in 2012. And he ran for over 2,000 yards. He didn't break the record. The all-time record is Eric Dickerson, 2,105 yards in a season. That was 1984. Now, for what it's worth, Dickerson did not win the MVP that year. But that was really only because Dan Marino, it was like he came from another planet that year. Right? The first quarterback, Rob, to throw for 5,000 yards.
No, he was unbelievable. Do you know who the first quarterback to throw for 4,000 yards?
Give me a hint.
Yeah,
give me a hint.
This is why he's in the Hall of Fame, because his numbers, it's because of
Namath.
This. Joe Namath, Chris. Namath, yep. Joe Namath was the first to throw for 4,000 yards. So when you look at Namath's numbers, you go, how's he in the Hall of Fame? Right. You're like, his numbers aren't that great, but
you cringe.
First to throw for 4,000, and B, the guarantee that the Jets would be, and you know the Baltimore Colts were like 15-point favorites. Like it was like JV versus varsity as far as the Colts versus the AFL's Jets, you know?
Right,
and
right.
The Jets wind up winning
that Super Bowl. No, it was like a USFL team beating the NFL champion, right?
And it helped the merger.
And then they forced the merger, yep. Exactly. Well, here, you mentioned Namath's numbers, Rob. Are you ready for this? Do you know his touchdown to interception situation?
I bet you he had more interception than touchdowns. I'm just kidding.
Not only more, 47 more.
Wow. See, that's
he threw 173 touchdowns and 220 interceptions. Only a 50% completion percentage. But again, for all you young kids that are going to run around saying, Joe's name is stunk.
No.
It was a different game. Quarterbacks could get clobbered back
what
then.
What year did
and
he
so
do the 4,000? Do you have that?
1967.
Yeah, they weren't throwing the ball like that. That was huge.
Right. And that was, as you mentioned, in the AFL.
Right.
That was in the AFL. Yeah. But, so.
A lot of young listeners, they don't even realize there was two leagues.
Right. But, so the question is this, Rob. And right now, Derrick Henry's on pace to break Eric Dickerson's single season record. He's on pace to run for 2,218 yards. So he would break the record. Now, again, Rob, it's 17 games, which could hurt him because he's not on pace to break it in 16. So let's keep that in mind.
That's not going to count for me. I'm sorry.
17 games? Well, no, I agree. I think that's going to hurt him. If he breaks it, and he breaks it in 17 games, people are going to be like, okay, you got the record, but it's not the same.
You know what's
funny? If he breaks
it
in 16, it's different. He's also on pace quickly to tie LaDainian Tomlinson's all-time single-season touchdown rushing record, 28. He would break it in 17 or tie it in 17, but wouldn't break it in 16.
There were people who tried to discount Hank Aaron when he broke Chris Babe Ruth's record. Babe Ruth played 154. Baseball was 154 games, and baseball turned into 162.
Right.
So they're saying, well, he had more games than Babe. The only problem is that Hank Aaron actually did it, Chris, in less at-bats than Babe Ruth.
Wow, okay.
You know what I mean? So you can't take the record from him.
Right.
Or say or put any kind of asterisk or say it ain't legit. He had less at-bats.
Right,
period.
That's a great point. And the thing is, and you know this, right, over time, and you're right, if Henry breaks it in 17 games, initially it's going to be like, you know, you'll give him credit. He had a fantastic year, but it won't feel like, you know, he did it in 16. But over time, we'll just get used to it, right? And the next generation will be like, that's the all-time leading rusher in a single season. But here's what I want to throw at you, Rob. Do you believe he's got a legitimate chance to win the MVP?
It seems like I should just say no, because I know Ephraim we had on earlier, Ephraim Salam, said no, it ain't happening. It would take something very extraordinary, or Chris, where you have, it could happen this way. Either he's off the charts, or there are three quarterbacks who are so good that they split the vote. Do you know what I'm saying?
Well, yeah, but here's the problem with that. They would split a vote with a running back, too. You know what I mean? Like,
no,
it's
no,
not
no,
like people are voting by position.
No, I know, but I'm saying, it, like, if there's no clear-cut quarterback, the votes might get split up. So say, I'm just throwing it out, Lamar gets 4, Justin Herbert gets 4, okay? Aaron Rodgers gets 4, Patrick Mahomes gets 4, and Derrick okay. Henry gets 5.
Okay, do you, I hear you.
That's what I'm talking about. Like no, that's how it could happen.
Right. No, that's fair. That's fair. I think, like you said, number one, he'd have to be extraordinary. He probably does have to break the record, even if it's just 17 games instead of 16. But I think, Rob, also, no quarterback, and maybe this plays right into what you said, no quarterback can have a spectacular year. Because if a quarterback has a spectacular year, he's going to win it. Like right now, Tom Brady's on pace to throw for 6,000 yards.
Right.
And we've looked at their schedule. It's not that tough. If he throws for 6,000 yards, 45 touchdowns, right. and they're 14-3,
then he'll win. Right. He's going to win. I agree with you.
But if no quarterback, obviously you're going to have quarterbacks who have great years, but if none does anything like historic and Henry does, he's got a shot. He's got a shot. And they got to keep winning, too. They're 4-2 after a slow start to the season.
Fox Sports Radio has the best sports talk lineup in the nation. Catch all of our shows at foxsportsradio.com. And within the iHeartRadio app, search FSR to listen live.
But first, Rob, I know you want to address this thriller that just took place in L.A. The Dodgers come back from a 5-2 deficit in the eighth inning to win 6-5 and move within 2 games to 1 in the National League Championship Series.
Well, the National League Championship Series has been scripts written by Hollywood, Chris. All 3 wins have come in the last at-bat of the 3 teams, of the 2 teams. The Braves won in their last at-bat, right? And now the Dodgers did it tonight with a 4-piece in the bottom of the eighth, and they secure it in the top of the ninth and win 6-5. Huge comeback. I mean, this is why I called. I wrote a column today in Deadspin, and it said, don't celebrate too quickly at, Atlanta or whatever. Don't celebrate too prematurely, because they have a history, Chris, Atlanta being called Choke-lanta, because they have had leads in Super Bowls, national championship game for Georgia when they played in Atlanta, right? The Braves were up 2-0. They demolished the Yankees in 96 in the first 2 games of that World Series, Chris. Came home, lost 3 straight games in Atlanta, and then got knocked out in 4 straight. Yeah, they never won another game.
Right.
Last year, they were up 3-1 against the Dodgers and choked that down. The Dodgers won 3 straight. And now tonight, it's not the end of the world. The Dodgers, if the Braves were to sweep the Dodgers, that would have been a story, a huge story. It's just the way, not that the Dodgers won a game, Chris, but how? You're right. In total control, and you cough it up that late. That's the first game in Los Angeles Dodger history where they were down by more than 3 runs or more, that late in the eighth inning, and came back to win a playoff game.
Wow.
It's never happened to the Dodgers organization. They've been around since Moby Dick was a guppy. I had to throw that in. That's a new long time.
Wow.
Yeah, I know.
That's all only right, but you the get 124th my time I've heard yeah, that on the show.
I hadn't said it in about 8 months, so I just figured I'd drop it. But anyway.
Maybe 8 weeks, but
I haven't said that in a while. Tremendous game, Chris, and a big win for the Dodgers. They're back in the series.
Yeah, big win, man, and this is getting exciting. I think the other series in the AL is good, too.
Yeah, and if Houston wins tonight it's 2-1 Red Sox right now, Chris, then you got a 2-2 series. Best of 3, Dodgers play tomorrow. They try to even up the series, and you got to see how this affects Atlanta. Do they come out tomorrow like they let it get away, and heads held low, and they this could turn the series that quickly.
What do you think about the watch, Dame time stuff going on with Boston? Did you see that where they were kind of mocking because Houston Correa had pointed to his watch after hitting a home run, like game time, and then Boston started doing it, and Alex Cora, the manager, told him not to, and so they apologized. But Correa was like, yo, I like it. I think that's where the game should be going. I agree. Like, I don't like Cora telling them. It's his team, but you know what I mean? Like, I think that's fine for them to do that.
Yeah, I mean, I don't have, like you can, as players, you can dictate that stuff by stopping people from, right, hitting home runs or beating you or whatever it is. So as long as, you know, people aren't throwing at people's heads, Chris, headhunting.
Right. No, this is just like doing a dance in the end zone or something.
Right. I don't have a problem with it.
Yeah.
If you want to flip your bat, like, you know, and after a big home run, you know, I'm not mad at those guys. It's a game. Have some fun. I don't want it to be so stuffed shirt that you can't have any fun with it. So I'm cool with
it. Yeah, I agree.